You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hey, good Tuesday morning to you. Mike McNamara in for a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good day so far, wherever you may be. The leader of the free world is struggling in his own country. That's right, Emmanuel Macron. France, seeing stuff that's bad, man, if you're watching the riots there. And now whenever I see that stuff, you know what I think? I think the Russians have a hand in it. Yeah, I do. Sorry about that, but that's what I think. The Russians see that as an opportunity to destabilize another democracy. So what do? That's right. They get it kicking in France. That's just my thought. Right? Just a thought. Anyway, good Tuesday morning to you. I'm not sure if you watched much of the ceremonies that took President Bush's casket from Houston, Texas yesterday to the rotunda of the Capitol, but I did. I've always liked that, going back to when I was a kid, and I just think it's incredible when the nation rolls out its pageantry for a president or somebody that we intend to honor by them lying in state in the rotunda of the Capitol. So it was very cool. I thought it was very cool yesterday. Mike Pence gave an awesome speech. We might listen to a little bit of it this morning. But he's very, 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 very good. And again, I think the lesson of President Bush is just decency and in public service. And then again, I think that I was talking yesterday that I think it honestly it is a. It's a watershed event in American political history where there's a couple of forces that combine and we enter kind of a new phase in the way we do politics in the country. And then it's only got worse since then. And I think that what changed then was the way the media covered politics. Rush Limbaugh is a watershed event, and when Newt Gingrich comes to power, becomes Speaker of the House in, 1994, and then we begin to see the burn it down. Well, the only way you can burn it down, how would you have done that without some vehicle to constantly get your message to your base And it didn't exist before Rush Limbaugh created the Excellence in Broadcasting Network, the EIB network as it's known. And so so it is kind of interesting when you track how these events with are interwoven with the media. And so what Gingrich knew was that because of how Limbaugh's following had grown, he knew that he could get his message out to the base in spite of the way that any of the national news organization covered him. And so to me, what you see is just kind of the beginning of what will only get worse as media begins to cater to political taste. Now, in theory, before that, you had news people that did the news. Now, if you talk to people, you'd say, yeah, but conservatives were always underrepresented in that, and they would probably be right. I think that no matter when you take the poll in the nation's history, you would see a lot more liberals in journalism than you probably would conservatives. I could be wrong about that, but it's my sense anyway. And so, but, you know, that all kind of got masqueraded behind, you know, news organizations that did news. So now I think what you see with the March of Time is you see that whole issue has only gotten deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And what it has eliminated in the nation is the ability to compromise, which leads us where we are today. That really we can't work on the hard issues that confront the country because nobody has that kind of a majority. So what we're left with is if you want to get that stuff done, you have to accommodate the extremes of your coalition, if you will. And your coalition tends to be your party. So if the Senate wants it done, you know, you're going to see Rand Paul paraded on TV every day, and you're going to hear from Rand Paul what he wants. You're going to hear what John McCain wants every day because they hold the party up for their votes, right? You're going to hear the Freedom Caucus. You know, we're not going to support it because it's not conservative enough. So you empower those fringes. And because compromise no longer is possible. Nobody crosses the aisle to vote. So anyway, it's just interesting as you look back politically, I think anyway. These are obviously my thoughts on the evolution of the slow death of compromise in a democracy. And most notably, you know, President Bush compromising on the "Read My Lips, No News Taxes" pledge he made. The other thing is, reading was the role that Ross Perot played in all that. You know, Bush probably wins that election if Perot doesn't do what he does. And so Perot delivers the election to Clinton. So anyhow, interesting history to read. We tend to forget about we tend to forget about Ross Perot in some of this stuff, and what a huge effect he had on the course of American presidential politics. So anyway, good Tuesday morning to you. Let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to, Chris Woodbridge, the editor of the Marine Corps Gazette, is going to join us. We'll talk a little Marine Corps leadership. We'll talk Marine Corps current events. I postulated over the weekend as I was musing about my thoughts about the Marine Corps has a leadership issue, and I characterize it as the company grade officers have, and particularly when I talk about this, I talk about sergeants and staff sergeants. We've taken just about every tool that they used to have. You know, you can't do punitive PT, Right. If you assign EMI, it's got to be written up. It's got to be signed off. You've got to supervise it. So all the little tools that you used to have to waste somebody's time because they wouldn't get with the program, you don't have those anymore. Right? You can give them what I used to call a page 11 entry, which was a permanent entry into your record book that said on this date, so was counseled for subpar performance, blah, 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 blah. That followed him for the rest of his life. Now you can do that. It's called the 6105 form. And you can take him to administrative disciplinary court, which is known as non-judicial punishment at the company level. Pretty serious stuff, and that will stay with him forever. But who wants to do that when you're having young people just being stupid and aren't getting with the program? Normally, the way that used to be handled was your platoon sergeant began to play a game known in the Marine Corps as fuck-fuck. I don't know why it's called that, and I'm not making it up. Ask anybody. So we're going to play fuck-fuck, and that is we're going to do stupid things because I say. Or you're going to do stupid things because I say, and I'm going to waste your time doing stupid stuff. Now, in boot camp, it's stuff like this, right? You're living in squad base, right? So in boot camp, it looks like everybody take the bottom sheet off your rack, off your bed, right, and get in the closet. What? Do it now. So everybody does it. And so how many people can you get? 40 people in a closet? No. But when somebody's screaming at you for everybody to get in the closet, you're trying. The little people are going towards the top. They're standing on other people. Everybody else, you know, is contorting their body to get more and more people in the closet. Then they say, stop. All right. Now, go get your pillowcase. Okay. Everybody stand on your head against the wall. And then you do that. So you used to be able to do that stuff. In the operational forces, it was, you're going to rake dirt, you're going to paint rocks, you're going to be part of the Gunny's Beautification Program, right? We're just going to waste your time till you get the message that we're in charge and you're not. It's the same thing as parenting, you know? When you look at kids, right, who don't get what no means, at some point, they're either going to learn it or they're out of control most of their lives. So I'm laying in bed, I think Saturday morning, and I got a message from a friend who's on active duty, and he said, "Hey, you know, I'm giving you what you said because I posed this to him. How do you exist as a sergeant or a staff sergeant when you don't have any of those disciplinary tools?" You ask them please, pretty please, with sugar on top, right? You threaten to write them up. What do you do? What tool is available to them other than, you know, being great leaders? I got that. And we talked about last week, writing an essay. Okay, well, a second grade teacher has that kind of disciplinary authority. They don't have any more than that. And so then the brilliant thought occurs to me, why don't we have detention? At least second grade teachers have detention. A lot of schools do. Some of them, I'm sure, went away from it because it singles people out for subpar performance. And we don't want to hurt their feelings, for God's sakes. But why doesn't the Marine Corps have detention? Why doesn't a company have detention? Why can't a sergeant send one of his guys who won't get out of bed in the morning to detention? Who runs detention? Well, right? At my high school, anyway, the vice principal ran it, and you really did not want to cross paths with him. So we could have, on a rotating basis, The guy who takes attendance is the commanding officer, the company first sergeant, the company XO, or the company gunny. So either one of those, make it the XO's and the first sergeant's responsibilities jointly, and then the CO can take it when he's around, and the gunny can do it when nobody else can. But every day we take attendance in detention. You're asked to explain why you're here. So the fact that you're not cooperating and you're not getting with the program comes to the attention of the highest ranking people in the company. And then in detention, I don't know, make it last from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock. No electronic devices, exactly. Oh, there's a dagger right through their heart, right? No electronic devices. Things that you can do in detention, you can work on your correspondence courses, so you can do that. But you can't work on them electronically. You'll have to bring some kind of written, printed study material. Okay, because there are no computers, there's no electronic connectivity in detention. Because we know what'll happen when that happens. Okay, so, or you can be part of the company beautification program, which means you're going to go sweep, rake, paint, clean, right? Or somehow otherwise, there's some other way to help out. So you can do that. Or you'll write your essay there in detention. But we're going to waste your time. All supervised, adults in charge of it, nobody taking anybody out at midnight doing anything crazy. Right? So why wouldn't we have some kind of non-judicial, informal, supervised event? Detention. So the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know what? Not a bad idea. So I sent it to a few of my friends. What do you think of this? I mean, and what we're trying to do is give them some kind of tool that when some stupid young person says, doesn't want to play, doesn't want to get out of bed, doesn't want to show up in time, we can begin to waste their time and say, look, you really don't want to go down this road. Okay, because this is the start of it. And the best part is that the day that you don't get out of bed and you get assigned to it at 5 o'clock at 1700 in the afternoon, everybody else goes home, McNamara walks into detention I get there at 1655, I walk in, I sit down, and the XO walks in, and he starts reading names. Muscleman, here. Why are you here, Muscleman? Sir, blah, 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 blah. McNamara, here, sir. McNamara, why are you here? You've never been here. I didn't get out of bed, sir. What do you mean you didn't get out of bed? So it forces that collision right there, which we like. And it reinforces that, hey, that dude's got a job to do. And you've got a job to do. So, do your job. So, anyway, I'd be curious. If you have any thoughts relative to detention, let me know about them. I'm curious. Leadership, especially at the lower levels, always intrigues me. Because it's hard. It's not easy to lead your peers. And, you know, but again, back in the day, and again, if you've heard this, forgive me, but this sprang out of a discussion I was having with one of my sons, and we were talking about stupid stuff, and I said, man, that stuff is out of control, like stupid. And he said, it went on when you were in, and I said, no, it didn't. And I said, the difference was when I was in, and I gave this some thought. The staff NCOs ran their platoons and sections with all the tools that they needed to make it work on a daily basis. If they wanted to punitively PT somebody, they would punitively PT somebody. If they wanted to play fuck-fuck, they played fuck-fuck. And, you know, you couldn't... beat somebody up. Even in the 80s, you couldn't do that. But when they said, don't touch my Marines, you knew that if you did, there would be hell to pay. You would be held accountable by him. And so they didn't, they might get made to do stupid stuff, but some of the stuff you read about now, and the break on all of that was that there was the law of the platoon sergeant, and you were not afraid. Now, I mean, what you have is senior lance corporals and corporals administering the 2 a.m., you don't deserve to have hair, head shaving of different PFCs after they join. And so how do you make sure that up is up again? How do you do that? And so anyway, detention. So good morning. On a Tuesday. Yeah, that's what's rolling around in my head. As I said, Chris Woodbridge, the editor and publisher of the Marine Corps Gazette, will join us in about 55 minutes. Gunner's got a doctor's appointment, and hopefully that all works out. Woodbridge had to roll his stuff a little bit to the right. So hopefully that all works today. Anyway, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. It does, when I get it right. Dedicated to the 41st President of the United States, Lieutenant J.G. George Bush, United States Navy, a proud veteran of World War II. And this is dedicated to the aforementioned 41st President of the United States. As he lies in state in the rotunda of our Capitol, the People's Building, on his way to be buried with his wife and his three-year-old daughter that passed away years ago, their first child from leukemia. So dedicated to him.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Check of the weather now around Marineland. And we'll check the news headlines. I don't want to rain on anybody's parade here during the president's funeral, but I find all this silliness about bipartisan spirit pervades Capitol Hill. Look, you know, do not kid yourself. All right? Do not kid yourself. That's a charade, okay? It's not played like that anymore. As I alluded to earlier, each party knows that they can get their message out. They don't feel any need to compromise for the good of the country anymore. And that is inside them. That is inside the leaders of our two political parties, and in particular their leadership on Capitol Hill. They don't feel that. They can't give the other side a win. You can't compromise. And that's the way that is. And so don't be fooled by the charade going on. Right? And the fact that they stopped the disgusting rhetoric that pervades the news most days. So I say that as kind of a mental health advisory, because I don't want you to be disappointed and think that, you know, I know we talked about it, the little engine that could, well, maybe they could all get together. Yeah, it ain't happen. So anyway, with that said, no weather advisories in Quantico, which you don't see very often. Normally, because it's on the Potomac, there's a small craft advisory, but there's not today. Clouds in 43 right now in Quantico, Virginia, 30 miles south of where the 41st president lies in state, in the nation's capital. 53 at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and sunny. Granbury, Texas, cold. Partly sunny and 36 degrees in Texas. In 29 Palms, clouds at 40. Camp Pendleton, clouds at 44. Okinawa, Japan, dark, cloudy, and 74. The Helmand the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, dark, cloudy, 63. The Helmand province in Afghanistan is clear, dark, and 52. In the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area, it's cold. It's going to be cold the next few days. Highs in the low 60s. Yeah. Unbelievable. Currently cloudy and 48 degrees today, looking for a high of 69. Tonight, rain and a low of 52 degrees. On Wednesday, rain and a high of 61. What? On Thursday, rain and a high of 63. So there you go. We'll be set. Rain for the year. Nice. All right. We'll take a break when we come back. We'll check the news headlines. So, more of Auburn Radio on a Tuesday, coming up next on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. Hey, and just a reminder to everybody, if you know people in the Southern California area that are getting out, that are looking for work, send them to the Auburn Radio podcast page. Write this company's name down, Southwest Traders, Inc. All right, they are looking for salespeople, they're looking for dispatchers, they're looking for drivers, they would prefer to hire veterans. They're right behind Camp Pendleton in Temecula. So if you know a Marine that is getting out, they're looking to hire. So don't be afraid to let people know. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at AllMarineRadio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing.
I don't know why, but I don't think I've ever done this.
Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bell time and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air, what a bright time, it's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time is a swell time to go gliding in the one horse lane. Giddy up.
Yeah, you just heard Colleen. Got a water polo game up in Long Beach today. It's pretty fun watching her play water polo. It's a physical sport. She's never played one before. So she tells these stories about, girl grabbed my bathing suit, dunked me, kicked me. I said, so what do you do? I'm like, you kick her back, Colleen. What? Colleen, this is not like, you're not in kindergarten. You're supposed to play a sport, man. You got to give as good as you get. But you know, that doesn't really work until she gets smoked by somebody. And then she gets pissed. And then you kick them back or you do whatever. And you're like, yeah, that felt good. Whoa, where'd that come from? Pick up your feet, jingle around the clock, mix and a mingle in the jingling feet. Email. You know, Mac, I didn't really think about it, but now that you mention it, why wouldn't the Russians be all over what's going on in Paris? It doesn't take much to get the discontent boiling in France. And then once you have it boiling, to send it to another level, I don't think would be very difficult at all. Interesting. Already have the black helicopter flying. No, I'm just, what the Russians have done in the United States is they've just piled on to the things that divide Americans normally, right? And they throw gasoline on it. So, yeah, that's what they do. So, I mean, talk about a situation, what's going on in Paris, and it stems from increased taxes on fuel. And and President Macron said yesterday that he was not going to back down. Well, guess what? Guess what happened this morning, folks? Those things were suspended. That's right. Those taxes for a period of 6 months. As the French get to the bottom, of what's going on. So, anyway, here's the latest. Other for you Ohio State Buckeye football fans, Urban Meyer is resigning. You probably know that already. This is a story. So, anyway, he's had a tough year. He and his wife were put, in a were put front and center in a situation in which an assistant coach, physically abused his wife. She had texted Urban Meyer's wife pictures of her bruises, and then Urban Meyer's wife said, "I never showed them to him." And so he was in a position where his wife was just getting killed. And then his own conduct, what did he know? When did he know it? What did he do? And so ultimately Ohio State suspended him for 4 weeks. He has physical issues. He has some kind of brain tumor, which would normally, you know, take care of once, at least put you on a leave of absence. But anyway, yeah, he's had a difficult year. From France, headlines this morning. Macron makes U-turn on fuel tax increases in the face of yellow vest protests. France's prime minister today suspended planned increases to fuel taxes for at least 6 months in response to weeks of sometimes violent protests, the first major U-turn by President Emmanuel Macron's administration after 18 months in office, and less than 24 hours after he vowed he would not change his policies. In announcing the decision, Prime Minister Edouard Philippe said anyone would have to be deaf or blind not to see or hear the roiling anger on the streets over a policy that Macron has defended as critical to combating climate change. Quote, "The French who have donned yellow vests want taxes to drop and work to pay. That's also what we want. If I didn't manage to explain it, if the ruling majority didn't manage to convince the French, then something must change," said Philippe. "No tax is worth jeopardizing the unity of the nation." along with the delay in the tax increases that were set for January, Philippe said the time would be used, a six-month, right, would be used to discuss other measures to help working poor and squeezed middle class who rely on vehicles to get to work and to go shopping. Earlier, officials had hinted at a possible increase in the minimum wage, but Philippe made no such commitment. He warned citizens, however, that they could not expect better public services and lower taxes. Quote, if the events of recent days have shown us one thing, it's that the French want neither an increase in taxes or new taxes. If the tax take falls, then spending must fall. I guess that if the tax take means tax increase. If the tax increase falls, then spending must fall, because we don't want to pass our debts on to our children. And those debts are already sizable. So that's from Reuters reporting this morning on events in France. All right. And then this headline from the Wall Street Journal. France's Macron, I like saying Macron, blinks in standoff with yellow vest. Subheadline, grassroots movement, Gilets Jaunes. I'm not sure what that means. I'll find out, though. Let me go to my French to English translator. French to English. There you have it. All right, stand by. I know all you people that know French are going McNamara. It means yellow vest, you dumbass. Grassroots movement, yellow vest, led violent protests in the heart of Paris, pressuring him to back down on a key piece of his reform plan. Today, French President Emmanuel Macron delayed a planned tax increase on fuel, handing a victory to a grassroots protest movement that has massed across France to challenge his agenda. Faced with another weekend of destructive protests by the Yellow Vests, Prime Minister Edouard Philippe told a news conference Tuesday the tax hike would be pushed back for 6 months. So, there you have it. The leader of the free world, the self-declared leader of the free world, our favorite globalist, does an about face, and so now we're back to where we started, I guess, in France. So, anyway. That going on this morning. I thought kind of interesting. All right, Marine Corps news. Naval Academy hears about how they'll handle an expected rise in the Chesapeake Bay between 6 inches and 3 feet 6 inches. Okay, that will happen by 2050. Call me skeptical, okay? Call me skeptical. The Marine Sergeant Major Select charged with 2 felonies. Military.com reported that Sergeant Major Elect Jeremy Wayne King with 1st Combat Engineer Battalion, 1st Marine Division, was arrested by police from Temecula, California, on November 17th, charged with 2 felonies. One is assault with a deadly weapon, and 2 is a count of a terrorist threat. Why would that be on the front page of Marine Corps Times? Slow news day? No additional information has been presented relative to the suicide of the commanding officer of the United States Navy's 5th Fleet, who was found dead in his home in Bahrain. So stand by for that. What caused that? Right? And so you can read a whole bunch of speculation about it, Was he being blackmailed? Has he been compromised? Did he have mental health issues? Was there a failed relationship involved in all of this? But what? Why would a leader of the Navy's go to war fleet right now kill himself? So we wait for that. Vets aren't eating vegetables, according to a study. Well, vets would be a subset of the population. The population doesn't eat vegetables. An apple a day may keep the doctor away, but veterans don't seem to be buying that advice. A comprehensive Wounded Warrior Project survey of more than 33,000 veterans and service members released today shows the vast majority of vets aren't eating the recommended amount of fruits and vegetables each day and could be missing out on key health benefits as a result. It's widely recognized that a healthy eating plan is critical for a good health and for mitigating the effects of chronic disease, said Melanie Mousseau, metrics director for the Wounded Warrior Project. The Department of Agriculture recommends daily fruit intake at 2 cups for men over 19 and women between the ages of 19 and 30. Women who are 31 or older only need 1.5 cups per day to maintain a healthy diet. A man between 19 and 50 should eat 3 cups of vegetables a day. Older men and women between 19 and 50, what? Older men and women between the ages of 19 and 50 need to eat 2.5 cups. Isn't that a lot? According to the USDA, its recommended portions are appropriate for individuals who get less than 30 minutes per day of moderate physical exercise. The study also showed that given the choice between a carrot stick or a bag of chips, veterans are more likely to go for the chips. I mean, come on. Who would want to eat carrots? They suck. For example, 8.3% reported eating 4 or more snacks per day, compared to 2.5% and 3.9% who said they ate the same amount of servings in fruits and vegetables, respectively. Well, let me just tell you, I mean, is that a surprise to anybody? That veterans skewed to fast food? I mean, there was a story I saw yesterday that said that the tuna industry is dying. Why? Because millennials don't own can openers. What? Yeah, that's the story. Millennials are killing canned tuna, but the industry is fighting back. The consumption of canned tuna has dropped more than 40% per capita over the last 30 years, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Like Campbell's Soup and Kraft Heinz, Starkist Bumblebee Foods and Chicken of the Sea International have struggled as millennials have turned away from processed foods. Smaller brands that market themselves as safer and higher quality are also eating into the market share, according to the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal reports millennials are killing canned tuna. Consumption of canned tuna dropped 42% per capita according in the last 30 years through 2016. Quote, this is Andy Mex, the Vice President of Marketing of Innovation for Starkist. A lot of millennials don't even own can openers. What? So there you have it. So now you're going to tell me that you're surprised that they're not eating carrots when they could eat a bag of potato chips? Okay. You need to get out a little bit more, okay? If you think that Dobie Gillis is still on TV, you're going to have a rude shock when that one hits you, too. At Capitol, Bush saluted as a gentle soul and a great man. I don't like the whole gentle soul thing. It just sounds too gooey to me, right? He was a great public servant. He was a great and compassionate public servant. How about that? Yeah. Duh. Who wants canned tuna when you can buy tuna steaks? I'd much prefer a yummy tuna steak over canned tuna, and I use that tuna noodle for tuna noodle casserole as well. Yeah, but they're not even going near tuna. You can buy tuna in those little bags now, those foil bags, so you don't even need a can opener. So they've gone to those. Maybe packaging's our issue. No, I don't think. Do you think kids grew up eating tuna fish? I don't think too many did. I mean, I did. Kathleen, man. My sandwiches, I was a peanut butter and jelly kid. I could eat peanut butter and jelly every day of the year. Okay, but Kathleen, she had to throw in roast beef. I didn't really care for that. And I wouldn't eat them either. And I don't know why, but I wouldn't throw them away. I would, and that's back in the day when my mom wrapped our sandwiches in wax paper. Yep, make them, put them on the wax paper, fold it, blah, 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 stick in the bag. I'd eat maybe half, and I'd put the other half back in. And then I'd bring it home, and I'd stick it in like this shelf I had with a sliding, but it had a sliding door on it. And there must have been like 30, I don't even know. There was standing room only in there for roast beef sandwiches. Yeah, my dad found it, I think, ultimately, and threw them out. I think we tried to eat them, but they were a little nasty. Never did smell, though, interestingly enough. Yeah, but so she'd make roast beef. We'd have tuna fish. I'm trying to think what else. That was kind of it. It was peanut butter and jelly and tuna fish. And I was good with that. No celery in the tuna fish, no craziness in the tuna fish. Tuna fish and Best Foods mayonnaise, not Miracle Whip. Miracle Whip is good on some things, not on other things. So, there you have it. So most kids that are the age of my kids, I've made cream tuna for my kids. They're like, what's this? Yeah, what is this? Okay, get a piece of toast, bake the toast. All right, put the toast in the toaster. All right, get a plate, stand by. Hey, this is good. Yeah, this is how poor people eat. A bag of peas sets you back what? $1.99? Can of tuna, maybe two, depending on how much you're going to make. Boom, in the front row, cream tuna, okay, that was it, and bread, but it tasted great. How many kids do you think have eaten cream tuna in their life? Like zero. Melt margarine in a saucepan, add flour and blend, add milk, stirring constantly to prevent clumping, and stir until creamy. Add tuna, peas, salt, pepper, and warm thoroughly. As the tuna is warming, toast the bread. Poosh! Cream tuna. That's right. I got raised on that stuff, man. And it was like, that was, I mean, because we were Catholic, so fish on Friday, right? So I would tell you, as people have moved away from being more religious, they have moved away from fish on Friday. We used to eat it every week. Yeah, Lenten fish fry. But it wasn't for Catholics. It wasn't only during Lent. It was every Friday you were expected to fast. We had tuna fish for our... And it was not just me. Like, every kid in the class had tuna fish. Not everyone. But most of them had tuna fish sandwiches. So, yeah. Big shocker, right? Lack of people practicing religion, the drop of fish consumption, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, credit Christianity with the rise of the tuna fish industry. That's no shit either. All right, next story is there's interesting stuff going on as ISIS is dying. It's breathing its final breaths. Okay, and that is some of the big hitters in from ISIS are being yoked up. One was found yesterday in a hole, or I guess over the weekend, in a hole with 80 cell phones, a bunch of gold in a bag, and what else? What was the other thing that? Gold, 80 cell phones, and a shitload of cash hiding under his sister's house. Observation, where's Condoleezza Rice? Is she okay? And why wasn't she around yesterday? So I didn't notice her. Colin Powell made an appearance yesterday. You saw many of the members of the Bush cabinets. Dick Cheney there, and I will tell you this. One of the most interesting things is, if you see pictures, you'll see the president's dog. And I remember this because he's on TV right now, but laying next to the casket down in Houston. Now, I don't know if that picture was staged. It certainly could have been. Somebody could have told the dog to lie down, and he did. But he's a beautiful dog. But, you know, we've seen that so many times where animals at funerals, they know. How did you know? Obviously, there must be their sense of smell. They know, and they just lay down. It's really amazing. And again, I don't know if that photo was staged or not, but the dog's a beautiful dog, and there's been stories written that the dog will go to Walter Reed to continue his service. Or her service. I don't know if it's a male or female, but ISIS trapped in the vicinity of the Iraq-Syrian border, and it's getting squeezed on a regular basis. But nobody's there really covering that thing very much, so you don't know too much about it. The reason this story is in the news is this guy was. One of the guys who killed an American, he's a former Army Ranger, who was working in Syria's desert as a humanitarian relief worker. His name was Peter Kassig. So anyway, ISIS leaders now, they've yoked up a whole series of very, very high profile. And so wondering if the leader of ISIS, Mr. al-Baghdadi, is in the area. So that going on right now. The Chris Woodbridge is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, so we'll talk to him. And we're just going through the news right now. From overseas, top story in the early bird is one you don't see much. In a rare speech, MI6 chief says cyber brings, quote, potentially existential challenge. What does that mean? Concerned with existence, especially human existence, as viewed in the theories of existentialism. So, the article written by website called The Fifth Domain. His specialty is secrecy, yet his warning was blunt. In his second public speech in more than 4 years, the head of British intelligence said that a fourth industrial revolution is blurring the lines between the physical, digital, and biological domains, a change that could present a potentially existential challenge to liberal democracies. The rise of big data and other technologies present a call to arms for MI6 and its allies. Alex Junger, the chief of Secret Intelligence Service, said during a speech today at St. Andrews University in Scotland, "We and our allies face a battle to make sure technology works to our advantage and not to that of our opponents," Junger says. "There will be a dividing line between those intelligence services that grasp this, as the UK agencies have, and those services that don't." Junger presented MI6 as an organization in the midst of transforming from a human intelligence agency to one that embraces technological innovation. "We are evolving rapidly. Cyber is now our fastest growing directorate. We are shifting our focus from to that nexus between humans and technologies. As a result, the British intelligence agency has bolstered its collaboration with the private sector through a new investment fund," according to the British intelligence head. The speech was rare for Junger, who is also known as C in his official capacity, and just the second since he took the services top job in 2014. Quote, "In the cyber age, newcomers will often be better equipped to solve problems than those like me, steeped in experience, can be." The head of MI6 presented the world as one of liberal democracies fighting for order against an unnamed skilled opponent, unrestrained by any notion of law or morality. Simply put, we've got to innovate faster than they can. Indeed, future generations would not forgive us if it were otherwise. However, the British spy chief took square aim at one state who appears to be a member of this ideological opposition. Junger said that the British government's use of bulk data and modern analysts contributed to embarrassing Russia after the poisoning of a former Kremlin spy in Salisbury. Junger's speech comes amid what U.S. officials have called a conversation with Fifth Domain, an unprecedented intelligence cooperation between British and American governments. They point to recent Five Eyes agreements that have bolstered cyber threat sharing and joint attribution of malicious actors. Junger described the British government's attribution of the NotPETA attack by the Russian government on the Ukraine as attaching a cost to malign cyber activity. "Much of the evolving state threat is about our opponent's increasingly innovative exploitation of modern technology." You know what? To me, what's interesting about all that is, at what point does Russia pay for doing that stuff? You know, we consistently read this, you know, on a week-in, week-out basis. At what point does a nation like Russia pay for it? And I don't know. To me, it's astounding that on a regular basis, it's like they do it, and then we accept in public Vladimir Putin's, "Yeah, we didn't do that." Wait a minute. So who are those guys in the Crimea with Russian trucks, with their emblems painted over, that aren't wearing rank insignia, that aren't wearing unit designators? Who are those guys? I don't know. And we accept that. Okay. And, you know, again, this whole notion of the Coke song, right? We're all going to sing the Coke song, and Emmanuel Macron is going to lead us, and we're all going to go to a better place? It's a I'd joke. Like oh, here he comes. Home and furnish it with it's just not that way. And the same thing with all this happiness that, you know, the president and President Xi all of a sudden decided that, oh, yeah, guess what? Fentanyl is a really bad thing. Hello? We made that breakthrough? Oh, my God. How do I contain myself? I'm going to piss my pants here. So what do you think the Chinese longer term outlook is? Play it sideways. You're already at 2 years in. Okay, whatever agreement he makes, he's not going to be able to get through Congress. So play it sideways. Play him for a chump. Don't concede anything to the Americans. They're on their way out. So, anyway, sad news from, started in Afghanistan, probably. This news comes out of Germany. A fourth soldier dies from the large IED blast in Afghanistan that claimed the lives of three soldiers last week. Sergeant Jason Mitchell McClary died Sunday in Landstuhl, Germany, as a result of injuries sustained from an IED blast that occurred last week in the Anbar district of the Ghazni province in Afghanistan. McClary's 24, is from Eastport, Pennsylvania. He was an infantryman assigned to the 1st Battalion, 38th Infantry Regiment, 1st Striker Brigade Combat Team, 4th Infantry Division out of Fort Carson, Colorado. He'd been in Afghanistan since April. He served in Iraq from May of 2016 to January of 2017. He had received 2 Purple Hearts, 3 Navy, 3 Army commendations, one of which was with a V for Valor, Army Good Conduct Medal. So he's the 4th member of a blast that rocked that vehicle. And just for the record, Mike and I were talking, you know, he made a comment about penetrators. I never saw, I didn't make an issue of it, but I never saw a penetrator in any of the IED post-blast analysis that we did in Afghanistan. Might that have changed? Maybe. But if you were to ask me as a betting man, what would I bet on? I would bet that this was a really, really large explosion designed specifically for an American vehicle in order to kill Americans, in order to create these headlines. Because if the Afghans aren't reading history, kill Americans, they're weak, they'll quit. That is what we heard in Iraq in 2006 when Harry Reid, as the presidential campaign was going, said the war is lost. Said it for political reasons. Yeah, I still have issues with Harry Reid. In fact, hate is not even close to the word I would use to describe what I feel when I see that idiot. Third story in the early bird. President Trump calls U.S. defense spending crazy, pledges talks with Putin and President Xi. The federal budget, by percentage, where does our money go? All right, hopefully there's a graph here. This is a 2015. Mandatory spending comprises 65% of the budget. Interest on the debt is 6%. Discretionary spending is 29%. All right, so according to this, our federal budget, discretionary spending. See, that's total mandatory spending, all federal spending. This is what I wanted. 33% of the budget is Social Security, unemployment, insurance. 27% is Medicare and health. 15% is the DOD. Next largest sector is interest on the debt, 6%. After that, Next largest sector, veterans benefits, 4%. After that, food and agriculture, that's welfare, 3.5%. After that, education, 2.6%. After that, transportation, 2.2%. After that, housing and community development, 1.6%. After that, international affairs, 1.3%. After that, environment, 1.1%. After that, science, 0.78%. So, military, overall, part of the budget, 15%. Health, Social Security, and Medicare. Yikes. Ever wonder why people want to means test Medicare? I mean, Social Security and Medicare? Let's see. All right. Two more stories. I won't go into depth in either one of them. Number four, we were going to die together. Trial testimony lays out years of work by Iran that led to a deadly attack on U.S. troops in Iraq. A three-day federal trial that began this week pits a New Jersey and Arkansas law firm against the Islamic Republic of Iran. So that's in the news. Number five, U.S. Air Force has a new war plan. The U.S. Air Force is rewriting its war plan for the Pacific. The flying branch's new commander for the region told reporters the Pentagon will have the plan in late 2018. U.S. envoy for Afghanistan peace embarks on a multi-nation tour amid concerns in Kabul. Again, we keep reading peace talk. Stars and Stripes writes this stuff. Actually, they do a really good job. Zalmay Khalilzad, the diplomat heading America's peace efforts in Afghanistan, left Monday for an eight-country tour to discuss ways of bringing the Taliban to the negotiating table. He'll travel to Afghanistan, Pakistan, Russia, the UAE. He's already spoken multiple times with senior Taliban officials. So that is in the news today. President Trump calls U.S. defense spending crazy, pledges talks with Putin and Xi. Quote, I am certain that at some point in the future, President Xi and I, together with President Putin of Russia, will start talking about a meaningful halt to what has become a major and uncontrollable arms race, Trump said in a tweet. The U.S. spent $716 billion this year. Crazy. 15% of the budget. While there was no immediate statement from Russia or China to corroborate the idea of imminent talks, the tweet was interpreted as a turnaround for the U.S. president. The Trump campaigned on rebuilding the military and won hard-fought national defense spending increases. Now the question is, will he turn around and cut the budget this year? So that's been much discussed here recently. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Chris Woodbridge will join us here on a Tuesday edition. We'll talk about the December issue of the Marine Corps Gazette. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.